People, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's the end of the world.
I'm going. I'm going with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Parker!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey!
Everybody calm the fuck down.
This girl's an open page. Bookmarking, she's so close now. This girl is half his age.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes. I'm joined by my brother Adam over Skype in America.
Hello.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Got enough toilet paper?
For now.
Might have to start rationing like they did in the Second World War.
Yeah, I can't remember if loo roll was a... I mean, I don't know what the situation was regarding loo roll in the Second World War. I mean, interesting. The thing with the Second World War that's really interesting is that people often bring up this fact about, like, oh, you know, people were, you know, the rich who were still able to go to, you know, Claridge's or the Savoy or wherever, despite, you know, rationing and eat lobster and drink, you know, vintage wine. And yeah, of course, that's in questionable taste, given the fact that everyone else is going through. But the fact is, it wasn't, you know, criminal or corrupt. Those things just weren't rationed. The things that were rationed were essentials like butter and bacon and vegetables and fruits and that sort of thing. But you could, if you could afford it, you could go and eat lobster to your heart's content and drink the Savoy wine cellar dry because they had, you know, caverns full of the stuff. So it is, obviously, it speaks to inequality, but not quite to the, sort of the corruption that trope is always designed to... Anyway, sorry, I think I appear to have walked into a different podcast. What are we talking about?
what film are you going to recommend for people to watch during these days of self-isolation and quarantine?
Well, funnily enough, speaking of World War II, I'm going to recommend a wartime picture.
Ooh.
By one of our favorite directors, Howard Hawks. And it is 1944's To Have and Have Not.
Ah, the first movie that Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall starred in.
Yes. So Lauren Bacall, previously Betty Jean Persky, was 19 when this movie was made. She was picked out of a Harper's Bazaar magazine by Slim Hawks, Hawks's wife, who is an incredible influence on his career and on the films he made while he was with her and subsequent to their marriage as well. So she saw Lauren Bacall in this magazine and was like, well, she looks like she would be pretty good for movies. And Hawks gets his teeth into her, and he's definitely got his eye on her as a, you know, as a fling or something, which is not unusual. He was a pretty big womanizer. But the fly in the ointment was that he put her in this film with Bogart, and the 46-year-old, I think, Bogart, and she fall in love, and the rest is history, as they say. And Hawks has to consent himself with having an affair with Dolores Moran instead. It's just a wonderful story because, you know, as much as I don't like going in for all the gossipy behind-the-scenes stuff, I just love the story of this film. I love that they took a Hemingway novel and basically used almost none of it except the title and some vague incidents from the book. And just made a Howard Hawks film, the same kind of Howard Hawks film we've seen a million times. It's Only Angels Have Wings. It's Rio Bravo. You know, it has these same old. It examines the same themes over and over again about friendship and, you know, companionship, loyalty, you know, and people's emotional responses to situations. There's Walter Brennan is in this film, plays the sort of Dean Martin character. He's the alcoholic who's Humphrey Bogart's best friend, and
nice.
Bogart kind of looks after him. There's also musical stuff, again, with the Rio Bravo parallels. You've got Hoagy Carmichael, and there's some bits where Lauren Bacall gets to sing, not particularly well. And then the whole thing unfolds against this kind of like lazily drawn plot around French resistance fighters in Martinique. The owner of the hotel that Humphrey Bogart's character lives in is played by Marcel Dalliot, who actually has a really amazing story. So you recognize him from The Rules of the Game and The Grand Illusion. He plays Jean Gabin's friend in The Grand Illusion.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. Yeah. He was good. I liked him.
Well, he was Marcel Dalliot was a French actor, and he was in those Renoir films. And he was Jewish. And so he fled France when the Germans invaded and made his way out through Lisbon. It was pretty hairy. He and his wife had to I think they got in a freight train and stuff like that. I mean, it was really hairy. That was Madeleine Lebeau, his wife, by the way. And they made it to Canada, I think, and then to the States eventually. And then went and tried to get parts in films, but he had no money and no cred in the States, so he just did kind of small parts. Okay. But then, until they were both of them, Marcel and Madeleine were cast in Casablanca. And Madeleine plays Yvonne, Bogart's jilted lover in that, who has an affair with a Nazi and then sings the Marseillaise.
Oh, isn't she the one that has that close up of?
Yes,
that's her.
During the Marseillaise, yeah, she's Marcel Dalliot's wife. And so they're in the film, and Dalliot's in it as well. And then they their careers sort of could take off from there. And he's in tons of films after this, including, of course, To Have and Have Not, and things like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and Pillow Talk, Sabrina. So that's just kind of a wonderful story. And he's one of the main French characters in this. But it's just a marvelous Howard Hawks movie. It's just all about those, you know, these people in a funny place. They're kind of it's a little bit perilous, but not so much that you don't have fun all the way through.
Yeah.
The script is just rapid fire back and forth. Some of the most iconic, moments in black and white cinema happen in this cinema happen in this movie. And it's a treat to watch two people falling in love.
Yeah.
With Bogart and Bacall were.
Yeah, you can kind of see it. I mean, I've only seen the only bit of To Have and Have Not I've seen is the you stick your lips together and you blow bit.
Well, I mean, you've got to see this movie. Howard Hawks head like you, this is essential viewing.
Yeah, but it's just
Walter Brennan too is a marvelous to watch in this.
Yeah, it's just like watching that scene when Humphrey Bogart just goes, you're like, I'm gonna leave my wife for her.
Yeah, I mean, he did, but it was and it was agonizing, I think, for him. And I think there's a story that Peter Lorre said to him, something like, even if you only get 5 years, 5 good years is better than no years at all. And they did get, I think, 11 years before he died, or maybe a bit more. He died in the late 50s and had kids and so on. And it's also interesting, I always think it's really interesting that she married Jason Robards. Later
Ooh,
on
she did okay I didn't know that.
Sam Robards, of course, is her son.
Nice.
With that from that marriage, and I always thought Jason Robards bears a passing resemblance to Bogart, so it could be a
he does have a Bogart look, particularly if Bogart lived a little bit longer, he could have like looked and sounded like Jason Robards in that time. Yeah he does.
Yeah. Anyway, To Have and Have Not is it's a sort of it's like Casablanca light in terms of its propaganda stuff. It doesn't lay it on as thick as Casablanca. It's almost like Howard Hawks tacks the war stuff on there because he has to. Like, it really feels like it's more about this sort of strange, like, there's always something vaguely political that I can't quite put my finger on in these Hawks movies, where, you know, with John Wayne and Rio Bravo and Humphrey Bogart on this, where it's like, I do everything on my own terms. It's almost like a little bit of soft kind of American libertarian republicanism or something. But it's also that thing of coming through for your friends in a sticky situation and sticking to your principles and having these feisty women talk you into falling in love with them. And I just love the spirit of the film. It's, again, it's like Rio Bravo or Only Angels Have Wings. It's a film you want to hang out in. You know, you want to be in this world. You want to be in the cafe and listen to Hoagie Carmichael playing the piano, and you want to have Marcel Dalliot serving you drinks. I mean, it's just, and you're in the Caribbean. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the beauty of Howard Hawks' movies. You just, it has such like a joyous feeling about it, and also there's great, there's richness in the characters, and you just really want to be there. And even in, like, I don't know, even in stuff like Red River as well, you just, there's such a, like, great just bunch of characters in there you just kind of want to hang out with and just ride and just, you know, take them to Missouri and all that sort of stuff. I think that's really, you know, kind of cool. But also, it's interesting, like, all the film, like, Howard Hawks had, like, a very, you know, he did a lot of different movies. He did musicals, he did westerns, he did, like, you know, epic films. But, you know, it's cool.
Gangs of films, comedies, he did practically one in every genre.
Yeah, he did. And he did the original Scarface in 1932.
Yeah. No, he's an amazing figure, but also sort of an interesting character to think about. You know, he seems to have had a real... There's a way in which his films seem to be him working stuff out. Like, there's a lot that he seems to always make, you know, this film, Only Angels Have Wings, Rio Bravo, El Dorado. I mean, they're all the same story when you boil it down. Yeah. And he always sort of balked against the suggestion that he was doing remakes. But I think to some degree he was, you know, I can't remember who said it, but, like, having the same dream over and over again. This is, yeah, so... So I know, but I mean, if you want a piece of absolute, like, vintage Hollywood with a capital H, to have and have not is where you're at. It is the perfect film for a Saturday night. It is also just like, you know, if it's raining outside and you need to get away from stuff, watch this. It'll whisk you along for an hour and a half. It's perfect. It just is. They, you know, it's that classic thing of, like, they really, really don't make this them like this anymore. Yeah. And it's the same as David Thompson says this, you know, this film is just like the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers films in that it's just complete fantasy, it's complete film and total escapism. And I think if there's anything we need these days, it's a little bit of escapism.
Yeah, escapism is key. Yeah, it is.
You sounded a lot like Trump there for a second. Escapism is key.
Escapism is key.
When yeah. We should try and go through an episode without mentioning Tulsa.
Yeah, if we end up doing that, we should just have a little penny jar where we just put coins in there.
Have you seen the TikToks with the people doing the voice, with doing sort of lip syncing to Trump?
I saw a bit of one of them. Like, I try to avoid TikTok in general, but, like, the bit of that one I saw was actually quite...
They're very, very funny. I recommend them. Anyway, but not as much as I recommend to Have and Have Not.
Yeah. Out of the Bacall, Bogart, Hawks two films that they did together, which one would you prefer? To Have and to Have Not or The Big Sleep?
Oh, that's a really difficult question to answer. I mean, it really depends what you're in the mood for. The Big Sleep has the noir thing and is it feels more like more of an adaptation. I think To Have and Have Not, honestly, is the one I would come back to more often because it's just so pleasant and entertaining to sit through. But The Big Sleep's a great film. I mean, I really can't choose between them. They're both excellent.
Mm. I'm a big fan of Bringing Up Baby.
Oh my goodness, Bringing Up Baby's utterly astonishing. I mean, it is just a roller coaster ride. I mean, then there's His Girl Friday. There's, I mean, his career is insane.
And Sergeant York, he did Sergeant York as well.
Yeah, I've not seen Sergeant York.
Me neither, but I really want to watch that.
All right, well, anyway, let's get out of here. Go watch Dab and Have Not, and yep. And then read the book, because the film has nothing to do with the book, so it won't ruin it for you.
Cool. So, well, that was Adam's recommendation, To Have and Have Not. Do check back with us next time and see what I will hear what I will be recommending.
Let's go.
Let's go. Bye.